From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is ESPN 97.5. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We are not in the studio. We are live in the sunshine and the beautiful weather at the Houston Open. It is the first day of the four-day extravaganza. After some cloudy skies and some storms overnight, the weather has basically cleared up, and it is a great day for golf and a lot of fun environment out here at the Champions Pavilion on the 18th hole. Barry is here. Nick is back in
studio.
What up? Fellas, what's going on?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream. I got to sleep until like 11:30.
You're just a...
Woke up, drove out here. It was like the 30-minute drive at the most. Just living the dream. Can we do this every day from now on instead of me having to drive to the Galleria? Please?
No, I don't think so.
I love this. How long did it take you to get here?
I actually took the Beltway around. It wasn't that bad. Raheel, I would say less than a half hour, about a half hour.
Oh, took Raheel an hour 20.
Yeah, not me.
How could it take you less than a half hour when it took me a half hour?
I didn't
and I'm closer.
But the Beltway all the way around on a straight shot with no traffic. I got on Beltway 8 probably around 11:15, and I pulled up before noon.
That's 45 minutes.
No, I'm saying, but I'm looking at the fact that I stopped and got coffee and stuff too. So I would say I got in the car at 11:15.
Right. Well, then there's no way that we live. I live. It said I was like 12 miles from this place from my house. And it took me 30 minutes.
So you rely on all those people to give you directions and stuff. I just get in the car and drive.
Yeah, I use fancy apps and technology. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm a sucker for technology, I guess.
Okay.
So any excitement last night for you?
Last night, no, but looking forward to baseball starting today, yes.
Me too.
I thought it was fantastic. I still think it's kind of funny that all of a sudden local TV stations decide to send, like, 8 people per station to Arlington to cover opening day, and Lisa's station's got Sherry Williams talking about all the food that's being offered at the ballpark at Arlington when no one cares.
It's a big deal, man. The Astros are the talk of the town. All of these diehard Astros fans that have been around forever, I mean, they've been around for at least, you know, 7 months.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's been, I mean, these are fans that, you know, have been through the wars and the trenches of being an elite baseball team. They've earned this.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that endured those 100 lost seasons, and what's really neat is when you walk on the grounds here today, and obviously a lot of people are wearing their golf gear and things like that.
But or their bootleg Astros jerseys.
You see an abundance of Astros gear, a lot of hats, a lot of shirts, a lot of people that are really excited that today we get it started and they get a chance to defend that crown. So it'll be fun. You and I are going to do some predictions later on.
About 3 o'clock, huh? Does that sound good? That
sounds good.
We'll do our MLB predictions for the year. Mine are already up. But
Nick, you ready?
Whatever.
Absolutely not.
Don't do that
not.
To him. Be nice. He's probably not going to be
I can
like,
pull that on some
UFC.
I can do that.
Nick's like, this doesn't have anything to do with
totally
fantasy baseball
go,
picks.
Yeah,
does
no.
It?
So last night I went to the improv to hang out with Frankie.
Oh, that's right.
Dude, that place. No, first of all, the place was packed.
Yeah.
Second of all, the show was so badass. I got to meet a ton of listeners. I had no idea.
Cool.
But a ton of listeners showed up, and I don't think they knew I was going to be there necessarily. I think they just were like, oh.
Now, do you think they came because they heard him on the air with us? Or
I imagine there might have been a couple that heard him and went out. And I know he picked up some followers on Twitter that people were asking me how to get in touch with the guy. But, man, it was a great, great show. It was packed. If you didn't go, you really missed out, man, because Frankie and his whole crew, Chris Estrada, Rudy, man, it was a killer show.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I found out he was telling me in the green room because I hung out with him all night, and he told me that there's going to be a story. I need to look it up. There's going to be a story that gets released in the Washington Post today about Cholo Fit.
Really?
And how he's spreading a message of positivity across the country. And I just thought, wow, really? So there's this character you created And he's actually now, it's just a fictitious thing to have fun. And now there's stories about him in the Washington Post.
That is so cool. And the
bizarre
fact that he talked about it was kind of loosely based on his dad and
yeah.
being positive and work. It's just really a good feel-good story when you hear about it. And I thought a lot of people would kind of jump on board because he's a good dude, too.
Pretty cool. Yeah, dude, very sincere, very nice. Like, I just went out and did a guest set. And in comedy, when you do a guest set, you're just kind of like, you're just a guest. So you don't get paid to do the show. You're just hanging out. You probably know the guy that's the headliner. So it's just the headliner. I did 8 minutes.
Okay.
So it's just more of a, hey, I'm going to come hang out. And he's like, yeah, we'll go do a little stage time. It's one of those things, right? But he's still offering me. He's like, hey, man, I'll give you some cash for doing the show. I was like, dude, it's cool, man. Like, that's how genuinely nice Frankie is.
That's awesome.
Great dude.
Yeah, that was fun to have him in studio, and we got a couple pictures that I think we posted already, but that was a great time. And now we're out here for the golf. And
are you going to stay today? Are you going to watch any golf?
No.
Why not?
No, I might come back this weekend because during the week with all the stuff we got going on with the baby and stuff, it's hard for me because beating traffic. Now, I will say this. What Raheel faced on the way here, I'll face on the way back because the Beltway is going to be a parking lot on the way back.
Oh, it sure is.
So I got to hit the road as fast as possible, but I may come back this weekend because – when you hear the players say this, and it's one thing to say it and fluff the tournament, but they mean it. This is probably the best conditioned golf course that, aside from the majors, that these players will play on all year long, and they get it as close to the conditions at Augusta as they can without all the undulations and such. It's gorgeous.
Well, I tell you what, it should be some high scores at least today and tomorrow because all that rain is going to slow the greens down. It's going to be easier to stop the ball. Putting should be a little more predictable. So we could be in store for some high scores.
Good names at the top of the leaderboard, too. Five is leading it, but Fowler's at three. Patrick Harrington's at three. Jordan Spieth is at three. So a lot of the fan favorites are at the top of the leaderboard. That also makes it a lot more fun for the galleries that will be following these guys. Raheel is still trying to collect at least 25 chapsticks before he leaves the grounds. So he'll be out on the grounds shaking hands in his Astros jersey, trying to get as many chapsticks as possible. If you've got them, people, and you don't want them, bring him to Raheel. He collects them.
Used or not. Even
used
if you've
fun.
Used them, bring your chapstick. Little herps on there never killed nobody.
He just takes a razor blade and cuts off
just
all the germs.
Get a little bump. I mean, it's no big deal. It's just a flare-up every 6 years. Whatever. Right?
He's fine with it.
Okay.
Other news of the day besides the Astros and everybody playing in baseball. We've got Hall of Fame selections leaking out. I'm hearing Maurice Cheeks, hearing Grant Hill. Hearing Jason Kidd as in, we already talked about yesterday, Rudy T. It's a shame, it's a travesty, but he, again, not selected this year. So as we get more of those to come out, and we'll announce them to you as well. And former Astro Barry, as well as famed New York Met, Rusty Staub.
Oh.
Passes away.
Dang, rest in peace, Rusty Staub.
Yeah, he was the big redheaded home run hitter for
a while.
He
was indeed. Here's the thing about Grant Hill. Am I crazy in saying I feel like his career was incomplete?
Because of injuries?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned it with Dell and Raheel. I really believe surefire Hall of Famer, if he stayed on the path he did his first seven or eight years in the league. Once
in
the
Detroit,
injury started,
basically.
Yeah, once the
once
injuries,
he left Detroit.
And because rookie of the year and all the different honors, and he lived up to the billing from Duke. But, boy, once the injuries hit, he was never the same player. Wasn't even close. He was a role player at best.
So I'm looking at his stats because I'm like, am I just crazy? Because I don't understand. Like, so his career numbers, he averaged 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Is that the measure of a Hall of Famer now for basketball?
It depends because you look at what's his career numbers in terms of where does he rank all time in scoring and all those other things. People look at it from a lot of different ways, and Dell and I were talking about it. It's sometimes, like Yao Ming, it's a body of work. It's a contributor to the game. So you can get into the Hall of Fame a lot of different ways. Rudy, I think, his best bet is as a contributor because of the fact that from coaching, college career, pre-punch in the face, playing career and the All-Stars and things like that, and the Olympic coaching, that he has his best shot. Yao, we all know his numbers can't be great because his career was cut short. But for what he did impactfully to the game of basketball worldwide and some of the gaps he bridged, I think that's a lot of the reason why he got in as quickly as he did. Because we all know as a player, his career was cut way short as a professional.
It really was. He made an All-Star twice after he left Detroit. That's it. And one of them, he played in 4 games. And I don't know if this is just...
That's fan balloting.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
See, as a starter.
That just he played in 4 games and made an All-Star team. Other than that, 2004, 2005, 67 games, and that was the only other All-Star game he made after leaving Detroit. He did play there was a point where he played 4, 14, and 29 games over 3 years in Orlando.
Yeah, he couldn't stay healthy.
I don't know. I just – at some point, you have to have a little bit of durability and longevity that's included in that, right?
No question. And you look at – well, look at Maurice Cheeks, one of the guys getting in. Maurice Cheeks' career was defined by longevity. He wasn't flashy. He wasn't, you know, going to put up major numbers. He was, again, one of those prototypical distribute-first point guards. But overall, because he played a long time, played on winning teams, was a great defender, he got that reputation. It wasn't because of his pure numbers, per se, scoring and otherwise. It was just longevity as a really above-average, solid overall player.
You asked me where he ranks all-time. On
Grant Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Points per game.
Yeah.
He is 184th. See. He's behind the great Pete Stojakovic.
Peja.
Yeah. Peja. Sorry. Where else?
Those that know him well call him Pete.
Yeah. Eric Gordon is scoring more for his career than Grant Hill.
Yeah, again, I guess it's body of work because otherwise kind of hard, right?
Yep. I don't get it. I know he was he had all the potential in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people, hey, this could be the next Jordan.
College career, and like you said, his career with the Pistons, he was on a crash course with the Hall of Fame. But he got derailed, and it's hard to say from that perspective what the criteria is to get him in.
I wouldn't have been upset if they'd have flip-flopped him and Rudy. I think Rudy deserved it more.
I think, and again, Grant Hill had plenty of opportunities, but I think Rudy, it's starting to – the clock's ticking, and you need to get that guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the clock's ticking on us, too. Just the first segment under our belt. We've got plenty more to go until we take you up till 4 o'clock, and then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. So we want you to participate. That's why you are suspects on The Usual Suspects. 713-780-3776. That's our phone number. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry Is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Much more ahead on The Usual Suspects as we're just getting going right here on ESPN 97.5. On all
the ESPN. 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, guys. Want to remind you to come out to Tastemakers' big time event April the 4th at Silver Street Studios. ESPN and all the personalities are going to try and make it out there to have amazing cuisine from Houston's top restaurants. And it's going to be an open bar. Open bar to get blitzed, you say? Oh, I see what you did there. Don't mind if we do. Tickets on sale now. $55 in advance at culturemap.com/tastemakers. Grab tickets while they last because at the door they're $65. But food, drink, and a good time had by all. Check it out at Tastemakers event April the 4th at Silver Street Studios. Barry and I are at the Houston Open.
Raheel and I just invented a language. We're talking in some sort of...
Kind of looked like ham bone.
Weird sign language. He was talking about how good Tastemakers is. He asked if I was going. I was like, I'm going to try, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it.
I'll be out of town. So you
but
guys
he said
enjoy.
The food is amazing. So, yeah, if you're not going, you should plan on going if you like food. And, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone likes food.
Yeah.
You know, it's if you narrowed it down to people that like food and don't like food...
I think
most people...
Nick knows good food and good beverage. And he had said he wants to go because he knows that it's going to be good on both ends.
Is that true, Nick?
I mean, I do want to go. I haven't been. I've been told it's an amazing event. I definitely want to try it. But I really want to go.
If I can go, we should all hang out.
I'll call
you're
from back
you're
home.
You're going?
No, I got to go back home.
Oh, that's right. That's on the 4th. That's right. You're flying out. Yeah. That's right. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much.
I know you're not.
You know, speaking of the – I was making the joke about everybody likes food. You know, on stage, a lot of times people will – comics will ask questions, like stupid questions like, hey, who likes sleeping? It's like, what? Yeah, everybody – it's a thing. Like, that's how comics, if they don't have a good setup for a joke, they'll ask a question, and that's their setup to get to their joke. I was doing a show one time with a guy, and he goes, who here likes breathing? I was like, what? That's an actual question? No, there's some people that don't like breathing. They're anti-breathing. They're opposed to it. That makes no sense. That's like I did. A guy asked who likes sleeping. Pretty much everybody is required to sleep.
I know my wife likes it. She just wish she could try it sometime.
She doesn't sleep much, huh?
No, I don't know how she can function, but she works on like less than 4 hours every night.
Oh my gosh,
just crazy.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
No, so we got open. Did you hear about Salvador Perez?
I did.
How crazy is that? Opening day today. Royals unpacking from spring training. He's at the house. He's got a suitcase. He's heading up the stairs. Feels a pop in the knee. Slight tear of the MCL, not requiring surgery, but going to put him on the DL for up to 6 weeks.
It's not like the Royals were going to cause a lot of commotion.
They lost Hosmer.
Yeah.
You know, they're like patchworking guys they lost, Lorenzo Cain and otherwise. They re-signed Moustakas. But overall, they were hurt. They needed him. And he was tearing the cover off of it in spring ball. He was killing it, and they were really going to look for him to be a bigger part of the offense.
And you go from him to, I think his backup is, I think his
they got a stud Butera, young kid, and then they got
Butera, who probably hasn't hit 10 home runs in his career over 10 years. So you lose your number four hitter, but I don't know that the Royals were doing much this year. I had them third in that division, but that sucks for them. Sucks for Perez. I know that he's kind of the heart and soul of that team, so.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it sucks for him because of the fact that he was primed to have a really good year. And
He had his best year last year, I believe.
Yeah, and then step up because he's going to be relied on more.
Yeah.
Hopefully get better pitches to hit, too. But so he'll be sidelined. First game of the day, right off the bat, another good story. Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs at Florida taking on the Marlins. And he goes deep in the first inning. And the side story there is that he went to Douglas High School. Where the shooting happened a few weeks ago, and he's wearing a patch on his arm representing the high school. And first inning, first pitch, bam, home run.
Yeah, Ian Happ, right?
Yeah. So, but now it's five.
Cubs are going to win the World Series. That's pretty obvious now.
But they were up 5-1. It's now 5-4 Cubs.
Those scrappy Marlins.
Yeah, and the guy on that Marlin front too. This is crazy, but Marlin man.
Yeah.
The guy that's always behind he's kind of like the John 3:16 rainbow afro guy of the past.
Right.
He's at every game. He's been a longtime season ticket holder of the Marlins. He was a season ticket holder for all 25 years of Marlins baseball. And I don't know if he was trying to cash in more by getting a discount or this Derek Jeter thing or something. But for whatever the reason, he says he's not getting tickets this year. And he's kind of it's kind of like the Clipper guy I forget the guy's name is, but same kind of thing. Big-time Clipper fan that used to dress up all crazy. He's basically put his services out there, and the Tigers and, he said, three other teams are bidding for his services.
That's ridiculous.
To be Tiger Man or whatever. And part of it is he wanted discounted tickets. He wanted basically the Rockets' three-year plan for club seats. He wanted three-year season tickets at a discounted rate.
So he was still going to pay.
And
he just wanted to pay less.
And a marketing deal as part of he wanted to kind of get a deal because he's wearing all their gear and stuff.
Well, that's I think he's overvaluing. Nobody looks at Marlins man and goes, you know what? I got to get season tickets to the Marlins. I got to get a jersey. He's not expanding the brand. There's not people in the world that go, I have no idea who the Marlins are until I saw Marlin man. Because chances are, if you're watching a baseball game, you know who the Marlins are.
Yeah, it's like Clipper. The guy's name was Clipper Darrell, and he used to wear like this powder blue Clippers tuxedo and all kinds of crazy outfits and stuff like that. As kind of a sideshow. People loved and took pictures with and liked Clipper Darrell. But when Clipper Darrell started feeling good about himself and trying to say, hey, I need to get paid more and put me on the payroll
like the
and do
rowdies.
This and do that, they're like, eh.
It's like the Rowdies. The Rowdies don't get paid.
Right, but they get free tickets every
they
game.
They do get seats. They do get seats.
Right.
But they don't get paid. And people want to take pictures with them, and they're there to help promote. And they do get some perks. They'll send them to San Antonio last year in the playoffs. They went on a couple of
on
games.
The bus, yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day – dude, you're just a wealthy fan that gets to travel and buy tickets, and it's just that seems kind of petty to me. I mean, you either love the Marlins and you want to go there and you want to be part of it and you want to be Marlins man, but stop trying to cash in on it. Now, somebody had told me, and I don't know if this was true or if it was hearsay or what, but they said, oh, Marlins man had cancer or something, and that's why he was going to all the games. I was like, I don't think that's the case. I think he just had a lot of money and loves baseball.
Yeah.
Because he was at the Astros games in the World Series.
So he basically is a lawyer. So he goes to the Marlins and he says, give me 10% off of what I would normally pay for my season tickets. I'll pay $200,000 for 3 years for four Diamond Club seats behind home plate, figuring a 10% discount for the Marlins' lack of stars and a 10% discount for paying everything up front in cash.
So he wanted 20% discount.
So essentially it's 20%, yeah. Said he paid $250 per ticket per game last year for his best seats. The Marlins came back asking for $260 a game for those
seats
over 3 years. And he said it was a worse product with all the All-Stars gone, and he just couldn't see doing it.
Marlins man's like, all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I got this. I'm sitting on a straight draw. And the Marlins went, call.
So he's
Royal
gonna wear,
flush. He said we own the tickets, bro. We don't need your money. Jeter, do you think Jeter's like, yeah, Marlins man, you do nothing for
me.
Dude,
he lowballed Billy the Marlin. In the mascot costume. He fired the guy inside, kept the costume, and figured they could hire some college intern to get in the costume and flap around.
The Marlins didn't see any value or want Giancarlo Stanton. You think they want Marlins, man?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Or Billy the Marlin, for that make. Now, I mean, you can see if there's an auction or a garage sale somewhere in the Miami area and they can get rid of that big-ass statue or that carnival ride
they
got
in left
field.
It's called the Home Run.
They consider it a work of art.
It's not art.
No,
if you were on acid, that might look like art.
It's a carnival, is what it is.
Yeah, it's very flamboyant.
Yeah, well, that's kind of Miami.
Got the fish and the all the hoopla about it. All right, if you want to eat healthy, you want to lose weight, are you just looking for food that's ready to heat and take it on the go? Do you just want food that's already cooked? It tastes good. It's good for you. Then you want HealthyGourmet.com. Log on right now and check it out. All the meals are made from scratch. The cool thing is you can get on HealthyGourmet.com and customize your meals. Maybe they've got like a Texas chili, and you're like, you know what? I want to add some rice to that. Give me some carbs. I'm working out. I'm running a lot. You can do that at HealthyGourmet.com. And here's the thing. You want to lose weight, but you don't want to meal prep. I get that. Everybody's time is valuable. I know a lot of people that spend 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday meal prepping. Why don't you just log on to HealthyGourmet.com, order all your meals. If you order them by Tuesday at midnight, they'll deliver them to your door on Friday, so your food's ready to go for the next week. And order $99 or more, and who's not eating $99 of food in a week? But if you order $99 or more, they will ship it to your door absolutely free. The cool thing is when you don't meal prep, you don't have to do dishes, you don't have to pack it, you don't have to it makes it so easy and convenient to eat healthy and lose weight. No prep, no cooking, no driving. It's the perfect solution for you to fit your lifestyle. And that lifestyle could be paleo, gluten-free, vegan, low-carb, doesn't matter. They have options for you. No commitment, no minimum orders. And if you order today and use code ESPN975, you'll save 10% off your order. Get online, get started today. It's HealthyGourmet.com. Get started, lose weight, get healthy, get HealthyGourmet.com.
ESPN975.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. More of the show. It is hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Everybody's been out here all day. Dell and Raheel are still out hanging out. Dell is going to focus hard on golf for the next couple of hours, so he's gearing himself up by energizing with some food.
Dell, have you ever played golf? Never played?
Doesn't like it.
Not surprised. Really?
I listen, so I know. Yeah. No desire.
Sorry, guys. Long-time co-worker, first-time listener. No, I listened on the way in. I knew you guys were down with the flat-brimmed wearing Tony Finau.
Finau,
yeah. You thought you were kind of racist because you thought he was black and he was a Pacific Islander, which is pretty racist, but that's okay. It's okay.
I would have been okay, Raheel, if you thought he was one of your peoples. But, I mean, you were all over the place.
Raheel said, what, American?
Exactly. But you didn't even think he was American.
Ooh, way to bring the racism, Joel.
Oh,
wow.
You did? Okay, all right. Hey,
just,
that's what
I just want y'all to know I had nothing to do with any of this. It's Raheel and Dell and Joel that are the racist, not me. So, Just putting that out there. Joel's shaking his head. Oh, God. What is an update on the leaderboard? Do we have one?
Five was leading it, and I said three under. For people that just want to see the big names, they're getting that. Because at 300, you got Patrick Arrington, you got Ricky Fowler, you got Jordan Spieth. You got some really big names on the leaderboard. The weather did a lot of people a favor because the early tee times that they would have had, a lot of people would have missed some of the early big names on the course. But because of the two-hour delay with the weather, everybody's been able to catch up and see some of those guys out on the course. I'd like to thank Josh Rapp for not only being here,
but
taking a piss-poor picture of me looking like Ray Charles behind a computer screen.
Well, you're the one that put on them Ferris Bueller's Day Off sunglasses that Jim Beam was passing out.
Like Raheel collects chapstick, I'm just collecting the sunglasses that they gave me. I forgot mine in the car.
Those are the official Jim Beam sunglasses.
Yes, they
are. My favorite part of you rocking the sunglasses is that you're rocking them over your glasses.
I told you. See, this is why I don't tell you anything, because I told you that, and I go, I'm doubling up today, and acting fool with it. And I knew right away, I was like, that's a mistake. Barry's going to just blast that all over the
Joel
place.
Joel has gone straight up dad mode with the glasses over the glasses.
Then
I kind of like,
then
you
I
have.
Can, then I can flip?
Yes. You can pull them down. That's pretty nice. It's like 3D.
And I got I've got a windscreen built in, so nothing will get in my eye. It blocks traffic.
That is hilarious. But you know what? Honestly, when you had them pushed up, you can't tell.
Was the point until you opened your mouth.
If you wouldn't have told me, I would have no idea that you were sitting over there like a dork with two pairs of glasses on. I would have never known that. I like them though. It's kind of got that, like, do you own any like blue blockers?
No.
Or do you have the flip up? You remember those? What was the show that came on after Cosby with Dwayne? A different world.
Yeah.
Did you ever have those where you
flip
them up?
No.
Oh, I wanted
Not
those so bad.
Not even when I played
bad.
Baseball did I wear
here's,
the flips.
Here's something. See, you can make fun of me about the following two things I'm about to say. One, I always wanted some of Dwayne's glasses because I wore glasses my whole life, and I always wanted the round ones with the flip because he made them look so cool.
And he had the tinted on the front.
No, they weren't tinted. They were regular glasses underneath, but you could flip them up for the sunglasses. And that was the thing. He would walk around with them flipped up and have his regular specs on.
But I thought it was with a shiny mirrory when he flipped them up. Oh, I thought so.
Oh, I don't know. And then the other thing is I always – this is – oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. But this is my peace offering to you for making fun of your glasses. I used to watch – it wasn't Growing Pains. What was the one with Kirk Cameron? Was that Growing Pains?
Yeah.
I always wanted hair like Kirk Cameron. I don't know why I always wanted that tight.
Yesterday
little...
you wanted to be bald.
Yes.
And now you're telling me that you wanted to have hair like Kirk Cameron.
At one point, I was like, I really want to rock a tight curl like that.
What, you want a mullet?
No, he had a tight curl. He had that real tight, kinky curl. I wanted that.
It was kind of like the...
It was nice. Looked low maintenance. It was clean. I liked it. I really wanted that.
Backloaded. And...
Backloaded? Yeah, he didn't have a mullet?
He had a bunch of stuff in the back.
Did he?
I think so.
I don't know if he had a mullet curl. I don't know. Basically, what you're saying is they had the white version of a Jerry curl, and I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty tight, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm responding to Josh's tweet by saying, you should hear me sing Isn't She Lovely and Georgia on My Mind.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're out here at the Champions Pavilion, if you can't tell by the noise. And all the fun and games going on around here. As we mentioned, Josh and his beautiful bride are out here saying hello, and you guys can too. If you're on the grounds, walking around on the golf course, stop by, say hi. As we are on the 18th fairway on the right-hand side from the tee box looking towards the green on what is a picturesque-type Houston day after a crappy overnight with the weather. So
pretty ugly. We got a lot of rain out at the farm. Oh, by the way, speaking of the farm,
please,
we're going to get on to sports, I promise. But last night, a listener came up to me, and he actually tweeted at me, too. I got to get his name. But this is what you and Nick, are you paying attention to this as well? Because you're in on this, too, jerk.
Yeah, what's up?
Last night, a listener, and I'm going to find his name, but a listener came up to me. It was John Paul Luna. He came up to me, and he goes, hey, man, how are all the animals at the farm? This is what you guys have started.
That's hilarious.
People actually think I have a farm now with animals.
I heard the doorbell and like the horn, like the Dukes of Hazzard horn, just goes E-I-E-I-O.
The doorbell.
On the farm. And
oh, no, that's not. I thought you were talking about the other doorbell that used to make fun of me about.
No.
I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not like a Teddy Ruxpin where you push in and my. No, that's not happening.
Taylor's got an Elmo doll that freaked the hell out of me like that the other night. I was cleaning up while we were up watching TV, and I grabbed the nose of the Elmo doll, and the thing starts talking to me and yelling phrases. I'm like, what the hell? She's just laughing at me. I'm like, I didn't know that the damn thing talked.
Joe picked up the Elmo, and it goes, stranger danger, stranger danger.
I've heard worse. Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about everybody, Nick claiming the W last night and us all going back and forth on
that was
Twitter.
Funny. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even though somebody did declare me the winner at the end. And when the people speak, that is who decides it.
First of all, how do you claim a win when you got the win? And you can't be declared the winner when you're putting songs from 1979.
Listen, it's do I need to remind you about Dewey defeats Truman? They declared that the win, so you may have thought you had the win, but when the listeners vote, that's what counts the most. I ain't to tell
you. So you picked the one vote at the end of the night, and suddenly it was a landslide.
Joel, if it's not convenient to me,
that's
I don't
right.
need it. I don't care about it. I just maybe you're picking up what I'm putting down here.
There'll be no picking it up, not even with a pooper scooper. I can tell you that. The Astros, as we mentioned, getting closer and closer to first pitch. Justin Verlander and Cole Hamels from Arlington today. A lot of hype and pomp and circumstance around the reigning World Series champs trying to defend that title, so that should be fun.
A little bit of extra. Did you see where Astros owner Jim Crane, they asked him about going up to Arlington to open the season? And he said, you know, for us, there's a little extra motivation in this. And I'm thinking, okay, Jim Crane, slow down.
Right.
It's game one of 162. You don't need motivation. But then he just like a fan, like you and I would say, he was like, yeah, last year when we really needed them to come through and swap some games with us, they didn't. So this has been on our radar since it came out, and we're pretty excited about this. So don't think for a second that the Astros have already forgotten that just because they won a world championship. When the owner brings it up in an interview,
I like it.
That's been put on the bulletin board that, hey, guys, y'all need to go out and whoop some Ranger ass.
See, and I really like that.
Now, whether they do, God, would that be terrible if they got swept?
Well, you remember when everything was going on? It was like that's the furthest thing from their minds. They played it off.
Yep.
So I was a little upset at that point. Like, no, that should actually register a little bit more. And some of the players eventually ended up tweeting it out that it did get under their skin a little bit. But to hear Jim Crane say something like that, it's like, good. That's exactly what it should have brought to your minds. And it should stick in your craw. And you should want to step on them a couple more times if you get the chance. And if you're up 10, get up 20.
Here's the ideal scenario for me personally. Is that the Astros go up there and get swept. Because then all of the bandwagon fans that take up parking spots and don't really care about the Astros, they're not there. Then they're not. It's not crowded when I want to go to a game now. That would be the ideal. No, just being
no,
okay.
Yeah, and here's the
problem.
I know,
it's just me.
The problem that we have, too, is the fact that it as good as they are, it really has starting to take a light.
It's taken away from us, too,
because of the fact that their prices are going up on tickets.
Yep.
Press passes are harder to get. Parking's going to be more of a problem.
Yeah, don't even get me started on the press passes.
It's
I think I went to more games than anybody at this station, and they didn't give me one. And I was like, okay, Astros, I hope you're ready for a long season of crap talking by me. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, everything is going to be
whatever.
Ridiculously like Fort Knox now because of the fact that they won it. And you wouldn't take any of it away from them. It's just a shame that it has to get like that.
You know, but I was honestly looking at my schedule for the next 3 months, and I was like, I'm going to be gone a lot. I'm on the road. I got a lot of shows over the next 3 months, so maybe it wasn't such a bad thing because they want you. Here's the thing: as they tell you, oh, you have to go to at least 10 games. That's why you didn't get one. I went to like 15 to 20 games last year, and they're like, "How do you track that?" Because there's no way to log in. So I just need the Astros. They got everything else organized and together. Why don't you get organized? The fact that you don't know who shows up and who doesn't.
I agree with you.
Ugh.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on with the weekend approaching. There's a lot of you that are looking for a way to avoid having to cook and have a little cheat day or some fun around the house. Falbo Brothers Pizza, you know it's my go-to for the best pizza in the city of Houston, Texas. Located out there in Sweetwater on Sweetwater Boulevard at Highway 59, they do pizza right. Whether you want the deep dish or the Chicago style or a stuffed pizza, You can't go wrong with Falbo Brothers Pizza. Check them out on the internet. Falbo, F-A-L-B-O, Brothers, but B-R-O-S, pizza.com. They're at 4779 Sweetwater Boulevard. You can call them at 281-240-4779. They deliver within 4 miles of their location. It's a takeout place for the most part, but you can sit there and dine in if you want. But I guarantee you this, it's not about the pictures on the wall. It's about the food on your plate. And you cannot go wrong with the pizza that is just great. They just do it all. They do, the stuffed pizza is fantastic. The deep dish is my favorite. Barry tried the hand toss, absolutely loved it. The toppings are all fresh. It's a bona fide pizza oven, so it's done right. And they have locations across the Midwest in Chicago and Milwaukee, so they know how to do pizza the right way, and they get it proven by the people that love their pizza a certain way, like the Chicago deep dish. So check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by. They're good about giving you a discount as an ESPN listener. So give them a call, 281-240-4779 or Sweetwater Boulevard at Highway 59.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah! It's a lot of f***ing in the club tonight. What? What? But it's gonna be aight. Yeah.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick started a firestorm. We're out here at the Houston Open. It is sponsorless, so you have to put a dollar in the jar, Barry, if you mentioned the previous year's sponsor. That's what Raheel said.
Did you? Anyway. Oh, really?
No, Raheel did it several times.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So it's the Houston Open. And,
so there's no title sponsor, or is it sponsored by the city of Houston?
They're still in talks to get someone, I think, for the long term, so they didn't have one this year. And I remember last year when they picked me up at the parking lot to take me to the media center, the guy was on one of the committees for the – he said, we have enough money that we've banked and taken care of our funds from the sponsorships and the revenues from the golf tournament that we don't need a sponsor next year. That we can still do this and still do the charity donation. So that's impressive because, look, I grew up with the Greater Milwaukee Open, and it's gone.
It wasn't so great after all, was it?
Sponsors weren't digging it. They weren't staying loyal to it, and it just finally went under.
When did they play in Milwaukee? I'm guessing like May?
It was Tiger's first tournament. I think I want to say they used to do it. And you might be right.
April, May,
I thought it was
seems
closer
about
towards,
right.
towards late August, too, when it was still nice and it was warm.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then even guys on tour that had Wisconsin roots were trying to save it, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly, and they just couldn't do it. They couldn't find a sponsor, and it went away.
Yeah, you know, I guess you just have to say that this tournament is sponsored by the city of Houston, the people of Houston.
Yeah, and they donate a ton. Like they
do.
A load of money to charity.
Lots of volunteers out here.
People
all of them
of
pretty
Houston
friendly.
Support this thing.
None of them know where the Champions Pavilion is, but all very friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
They directed me right away.
Well...
But I actually went to the people that were wearing the shirts that said Houston Open.
Oh, no, I was just asking randos.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I asked the people that worked here. Several of them were like, I don't know, bro. And that's how I ended up with a thing, because one lady was sitting down. She said, can I help you find something? I said, yeah, where's the Champions Pavilion? She goes, oh, I don't know. And then she gave me this
booklet. She gave you the
booklet.
T-sheet with
she goes,
the map on it?
It should be in here. She didn't look it up for me. She just handed it to me. She goes, it should be in here.
Just do her job.
Okay.
She adequately did
all
her
right.
job the way it's supposed to be. I don't know if it's the way it's supposed to be.
This is a nice – I like this. This is way better than last year when they had us out on a deck.
With no cover.
Sweating.
Sun beating down on us.
I was sunburned for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. You were.
Because I am pale white. Like, I'm wearing a white shirt today. You can't tell I have a shirt on. Or it looks like I have on a long sleeve. That's how white I am.
Well, not to mention, remember last year the lady got her feelings hurt because she was listening and
we talked about poop.
Yeah, and she
got
was
upset.
So offended she came and tried to yell at us in a break. And we're like, well, then you don't have to sit here and listen.
Yeah.
But
yeah, ma'am, you're not chained to the bench. You can leave at any point if you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's just – but you're right. Champions Pavilion, 18th fairway, big tent, covered space, shade, breeze, food and beverage.
Look at all
everybody's
the people.
Everybody's smiling, even if they're faking it. It's fantastic.
Look at all the people that turned out just to come see us talk on the radio. This is amazing. Thank you guys for coming. We appreciate you being here. We know how much you love us, and it's great that you're here. This lady's looking at me like, I have no idea who those guys are. No clue.
I didn't know that they brought college radio on the road.
This is going out worldwide, ma'am. We are worldwide. That's right. That's right. Right now, people in Europe are hearing this.
People at Carnoustie are actually waving to us on the internet.
This is a big deal. All right, maybe not.
No. So some of the things we didn't get to yesterday because we were kind of a whirlwind on Way Back Wednesday covering a whole lot of ground.
Well, it was mostly you guys, you and Nick fighting, but.
Well, jealousy is a disease. It's what we do, so we do it well, so we keep doing it. Orlando, Florida, NFL owners meetings. The new catch rule is now official. It is passed. And on top of that, they're now going more the college game route. If players lead with their helmet for a tackle, there's going to be more penalties and more significant penalties for the player. It's a 15-yard penalty, potential ejection anytime a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against any opponent. It will apply to tacklers, ball carriers, even linemen, and it will take the place of a previous rule that limited the penalty to contact with the crown of the helmet. I don't like the ejection thing because we've talked about this over and over again, even when we were going over catches and such. Especially in the college game, guys, when they're going full speed and they're trying to hit a receiver, if the receiver jumps or he ducks, sometimes you can't react fast enough to that, and sometimes the contact's going to happen. If it's blatant and it looks like it's intentional, I get it. But you got to be really careful. It's a fine line because a lot of times these guys can't adjust on the fly going 100 miles an hour at full speed. And to eject them the first time it happens, I think that's kind of tough.
Yeah, it's I kind of like the way the NCAA does it. I thought their rule was pretty good. I think the NFL, their heart is in the right place. They're trying to protect the players. People bitch about it all the time that they don't do enough. And I think they're trying to do that. But, man, you could see this where you feel like these guys are going to have to learn how to completely play a new game almost.
Yeah.
So I feel like you want to start to ease them into this and not just be like, all right, anybody lowers their head, you're out. Well, you're going to end up with four players on the field because these guys are conditioned to do that right now. So it's kind of like, you know, you have to slowly get them used to one rule, which they are now. You see a lot more guys, a lot of missed tackles. You see a lot of.
Think about the end of the Saints-Vikings game in the playoffs.
He lowered his head, though. That's why he missed the tackle.
But
his head was all the way low.
Guys are thinking before they're tackling.
Yes.
And that's what's going to happen. A guy's going to sneak away because of the fact that the guy was like, well, if I hit him in the wrong spot. And that's why I don't like the ejection. I understand the 15-yard penalty. But I think the college rule where I have the biggest problem is the ejection, where a guy's playing his ass off, making tackle after tackle, and he goes and you know, not that it was intentional, but he gets caught running too fast, and he couldn't adjust in time, and he ends up hitting a guy with his helmet. And the next thing you know, he's headed to the locker room, and it's not only for the rest of the half, it's the first half of the next game, or whatever. However that college rule works. I think that's too severe of a punishment for a guy that just plays really, really hard.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. There's going to be the NFL almost seems to not be able to get out of its own way because it looks like they fixed the catch rule, and now, you know, there's some clearer, less convoluted, less confusing verbiage around what a catch is. So now it's easier to determine that. There shouldn't be as much controversy. And then they go out and go, oh, and by the way, no one duck your head or you're out.
Yeah, and then to even muddle it up more after you finally get the catch rule right, now they're talking about taking kickoffs away completely because they said there are five times more concussions in the game caused by kickoffs than any other play in the game of football on the professional level. And Eric Winston, who's the head of the Players Association as a player rep, came out on Twitter and said, the league will continue to pass rules and fine players more with the hopes that things will change. But meaningful change will happen only when everyone, players, coaches, owners, share responsibility in making the game as safe as possible. I don't think that's taking kickoffs away, and I certainly don't think that's kicking a guy out for a guy that's trying to make a hard football play as opposed to, I think for the most part, replay, you can tell if a guy is intentionally trying to spear someone or if he just couldn't ease up.
That's the thing is, you hope, I don't know, did they say in the article if they're going to review them when they call the penalty?
Yeah, I think replay, just like college, they're going to use a replay to make the final determination.
Okay.
The penalty obviously will be in play no matter what.
Okay, so here's the deal. If they're going to use replay to determine if the penalty called was in fact a penalty or not, get ready for 4-hour football games. So all of y'all bitching about slow play in baseball can stop because an NFL game is going to take forever now because so many people duck their head. The first eight games of the season, it's going to be atrocious, the first 8 weeks. This seems like way too much to me right now, way too much.
Big Frank is in the house. There's nothing wrong with that when Big Frank is in the house. If he could get his sidekick Tony out here, it'd be great, but it's golf, and Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, ain't never coming out here, but he is good people.
What's up, man?
It's good to see everybody out here that loves golf. Big Frank still trying to learn how to hit a three-wood. But, look, you're right. From a football perspective, Barry, I understand. You want to get the game right.
Yeah.
You want to get the calls right, and you want to try and protect everybody from injury. Because, again, like the numbers I was giving you on kickoffs, five times more concussions than any other playing football. The other thing is they're saying out of every time there was a helmet-to-helmet tackle in the league, according to statistics, a ratio out of every three caused a concussion in 2015. Now Damn. It's one out of every two in 2017. So they are trying to care about the players more in terms of their head safety.
I'm not saying what they're doing is bad. I'm saying it's too sudden. I'm saying they should probably think about easing into this instead of throwing it all in at once and really confusing people, because there's going to be issues with this. There's going to be problems with the rule as is. There's no doubt about it. That'll get exposed, much like the catch rule got exposed for the problems that it had. So I think you can take bits and pieces and slowly work it in the game, whether you want to wait a year or two, evaluate the few subtleties that you add to it or not. I don't know. It just seems too much for me right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And as you questioned, the answer is here that a replay review is almost certain to be necessary to ensure proper enforcement of the rules, aside from the 15-yard penalty, so they're going to use that as well. But it just seems like, as with everything else, they can't just get a clearly cut, concise, defined, agreeable way to progress forward. The players don't like this. They're kind of preaching my side of the fact that a guy playing hard may end up hitting a guy with his head when it's not intentional.
Right.
Shouldn't be punished for that the same way. It just seems like the NFL being the NFL.
Did you look at this article I posted about the free agency power rankings, post-free agency power rankings?
I did,
so you cheated?
No, I had it on there 2 days ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So, okay. I was going to see if you could guess where the Texans and Green Bay ended up. But we can tell the people that when we come back.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
All right, so we've already got an hour in the books. We've got 2 hours to go of the big show, and we are out here at the Houston Open. We'd love for you to join us. But either way, keep your dial right where it is. Second hour of The Usual Suspects right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5. To the point like the pyramids of Giza.